Attention. The news of the day. News that was given last night is all that's required to avoid having to study every night next week. At what time that test will begin is not yet determined. All must sign in at the library between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. It could be tomorrow, or partially tonight, if not more interest is shown. Just the news last night that was discussed, and the Huey Newton tape. We must understand that. It will be given in synopsis too, at some point, by teachers across this medium. Other news that I am now giving will be for bonus. Those who are confident of the material they heard, or have studied it, or study it once or twice, and feel thorough to understand the news I am now giving, anyone who passes present, current news will be given bonus rewards of time off. Remember one thing. We often misuse the word T.P. All the dictatorship of the proletariat or the working class means is that the people's will dictate. I am not a dictator. There might be that misunderstanding, as one good comrade has pointed out. A dictator allows no dissent. A dictator never allows anyone to disagree with him. A dictator uses brutality, torture, and death to exterminate even the slightest opposition. A dictator demands absolute conformity in work and lifestyle. We have nothing of the sort. Though the people's will should dictate more cooperation in work, but don't ever make the mistake of thinking that the dictatorship of the proletariat means in any way dictatorship in the sense of tyranny or fascism. Because only one time, as Prime Minister Burnham said, do you disagree with a dictator. One time, and that's the last time. And of course, you realize in all discussions how we encourage dissent, look for criticisms, try to improve. Price control abuses are going to bring heavy prison sentences, according to Guyana Broadcasting Network News. Desmond Christian, regional minister in charge of price control, said violations will bring stiff sentences. Prime Minister Burnham declares that graft and corruption may even go high up in the People's National Congress, our ruling party. He said, do not be surprised at the heads that may fall even high up in state. Arson by a group of people protesting alleged teaching of communism in the capitalist state of Trinidad. A stern warning was given on selling above control prices. Prison sentences will be meted out stiffer than ever before since the referendum and the new socialist constitution. White marketing will bring the severest action from those who violate to those who violate. A 38-year-old woman, wife of a lower government official, was caught in Staybrook selling soap powder above control prices. The government is requesting a 2-year sentence, which is very severe by the standards of Guyana. $17,000 worth of plywood was stolen from a government co-op. The violators are caught and are being prosecuted to the maximum of 2 years. Linden Highway State Police are campaigning for safety and consideration in driving. There is a safety campaign for the protection of life and to bring socialist consideration in traffic driving throughout Guyana. Now, 26 teachers, 3-week course on Linden Highway. Methodology of cooperative activities with schools. Heavy emphasis on agricultural activities. The schools are going to be directing the children towards cooperative living, socialist communes such as ours, and heavy concentration will be on agriculture. Incidentally, I am now hearing on my telephone the feedback of the Jonestown Express. If it might be, if there's anything that can be corrected, I hear you loud and clear, and it makes for disconcerting when I'm trying to give the news. Electricity in New Amsterdam will be corrected promptly by the Governmental Inquiry Commission. Parts are being made available by East Germany and the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. Extra charges are being placed against those who are late in paying their rates and who are overdue. Legal actions are being made to recover outstanding taxes of businesses that have neglected them, the small business sector in New Amsterdam. Independence Day, December 13, for Namibia. But Guyana says, just like the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia, that the constitution that is being shaped and highly influenced by the United States and her imperialist lackey Britain under the domination of the United Nations cannot assure the survival of democracy in Namibia. Guyana and many of the third world nations are urging that Namibia follow a careful course to see that her freedom is not sold out when she separates from the Union of South Africa. The Port of Spain school, where teachers were accused of teaching socialism, fire damage has brought over $200,000 in damage by arsonist. Havana, the scene of great joy, as 18,000 youth from across the world have gathered, including the Guyanese delegation. That's why flights are so difficult coming in to this country, this part of the Northwest region at this time, because of the great Cuban Youth Festival. 18,000 delegates from around the world are converging on Havana, including the largest plane full from Guyana. The reason the socialist government of Guyana took its own plane, it remembered the hoary nightmare experience in which over a dozen of their young barefoot doctors were destroyed in the bombing by the CIA of the Cubana airline in the fall of last year ago last. So they are flying their own plane, which has made it difficult for people to get in. Kay and her family will arrive tomorrow. They are arriving in part of them today on commercial airlines. They will have to stay overnight and then will come in by train, the free train, tomorrow. The world is celebrating. Socialism is converging of different persuasions on Havana for the opening of this 11th World Festival of Youth. Fireworks were demonstrated last night. Delegates marched 18,000 strong, dancing through the streets, said the Guyana Broadcasting Studios, with slogans of anti-colonialism, anti-capitalism, anti-imperialism. Castro, dancing forward, headed the parade. Guyana was joyfully participating in the festival. Traditionally organized by Soviet bloc countries, the upcoming festival departs from past gatherings in many respects. It is the first to be held in the Americas and the first in a third world country, and in contrast to the relatively tight control exercised by the Communist Party USA over recent U.S. delegations, there promises to be broad participation from all socialist in the USA and anti-imperialist forces everywhere. For anti-imperialist solidarity, friendship and peace is the slogan of the festival, the idea of which was first conceived at a 1945 International Youth Conference in London to mark the defeat of Nazi Germany and fascism in Europe. The first festival was in Prague, Czechoslovakia, in 1947, attracting 17,000 youth. 20,000 attended the last festival in Berlin in 1973. Our people attach great importance to the possibility that has been given us to be host for the next festival, said the Cuban Havana Radio, and are fully prepared to offer their best cooperative efforts toward its greater organization and brilliance, said Cuban President Dr. Fidel Castro. Cuba's National Preparatory Committee for the festival includes 150 professional people, worker union, trade union leaders from all walks of life, including their national heroes in the field of the arts, the science, and athletics. Special monies was raised by the third world nations, including Guyana, to see that even delegations were allowed to come from such repressive states as South Africa. They were able to get out secretly from South Africa, Brazil, Uruguay, and several other fascist countries, including Chile. In the USA, there at least will be 1,1400 persons from that country, comprised of all sorts of socialists: the Young Workers Liberation League, Youth Branch of the Communist Party USA, the Puerto Rican Socialist Party, the Workers World, APSC, Third World Coalition, Center for Cuban Studies, Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, National Conference of Black Lawyers, National Anti-Imperialist Movement in Solidarity with Southern Africa, the Furriers Joint Council, and the Cuban Resource Center. Every third world nation is participating. All socialist nations are participating, except China. For the first time, to the thrill and joy of all, even members will be present from Albania. So it shows that Guyana is indeed not in the pocket of the People's Republic of China, as it is participating to a high level in this gigantic World Youth Festival being held in the beautiful, fantastically beautiful city and resort area around Havana. It appears that the Indian government is forced to bring back Minister Singh in the position of Home Affairs. He had been dismissed because of supposed loyalties to Indira Gandhi. Indira Gandhi's son and Indira Gandhi, the great woman, freedom fighter, both are under several indictments to go to jail. But their support is gaining new momentum again. For the first time in months, in fact, the first time in Carter's administration, Senator Edward Kennedy has sharply attacked President Carter's national health care program. He condemned the plan as totally inadequate. It does not reach the needy people. He said under the devastating effects of the tax cuts in USA, federally, and in the states, people will not be able to afford doctors, dentists, opticians, ophthalmologists, even major surgery will be denied the average person, even of the lower middle class. Libium, one of the world's number two drug, the second largest sold drug, is linked to cancer. The UPI reports from Boston that Libium, the second most commonly prescribed drug in the capitalist world, in the United States, and methylprednisolone, the active ingredient in several non-prescriptive sleeping aids, have been associated with cancer in research done on a number of animals. The drugs are members of the chemical family called amines, and when eaten with nitrates, they form nitrosamine, N-I-T-R-O-S-A-M-I-N-E, one of the deadliest cancer-causing substances known to man. Researchers from the Frederick Cancer Research Center told the Northeast Regional Meeting of the American Chemical Societies. When nitrates were fed to test animals in combination with the drugs, liver and serious system tumors, nervous system tumors, resulted in a high percentage, said the scientist at the gathering. Humans have a constant supply of nitrate in their saliva and ingest nitrate when they eat meats cured with sodium nitrate, such as bacon, sausage, and ham, which we don't have much of those chemicals here, so it wouldn't have as much effect. We don't have all those chemical additives which cause cancer in our foods, one of the things we should be grateful for. Another reason the people cannot come in today is that the road is completely flooded between us and Matthews Ridge, so we have to find ways of getting across with our vehicle meeting at one point and a vehicle meeting from Matthews Ridge. In the world, the season's worst rain for many years, the road is flooded out. We are encircled with water, but no danger to us as we are the highest point. But we will get them through tomorrow with our truck some way. Tomorrow must be a work day, says all the coordinators and supervisors, and we can take our day off on Monday due to our ship coming in with 250 tons of fertilizer. We will have to work until a combined community effort to get that job done. And explain to all that visit us that we normally have Sundays off, which we will have. But we will make such plans tomorrow because every day the ship stays in port, it costs us nearly $1,000. So we have to combine in joint effort in community socialism to get the boat unloaded, offloaded. News has been brought to attention that the highly celebrated television film, supported strongly by Zionism, called Holocaust, actually actually used the hired services at extensive prices of several ex-Nazi SS officers who participated in the slaughter of Jews. The gruesome detail provided by the TV's Holocaust, which was the second most popular television film in USA, second only to Roots, was actually masterminded by people who had participated in the gruesome murders under Nazi Germany's Third Reich. One officer was used as an advisor, and the other sold producers a macabre home movie he made of the affair in which he participated, which he filmed personally. Several hundred thousand dollars went out by those who made the film, including many Jewish leaders in the United States, to bring about the film. A strange sort of rationale, it seems. Many have accused the showing of the film, Holocaust, not to be in sympathy with the murdering of precious working-class Jews, but to promote the interest of Zionism. And it seems that Zionism will make marriage with the devil in order to achieve whatever they want. It's tragic that the sufferings and hurt against the Jews have caused the Jewish people to have to lean on Zionism as their only hope, because this is outrageous. The money was just almost $1 million spent out to Nazi advisors who somehow escaped jails. They were gotten, said the film's producers, and one of the chief actors, Michael Moriarty, in order to give accuracy, a high degree of accuracy. And as I said, there were numerous members of Germany's feared SSS, to which the officers who participated in the movie belong, and participated in the murder and torture of Jews. How they stayed out of jail is another question, and why any Jews would be involved with them is another question. Scriptwriter Green brought this to public attention, and it was carried in the London Times. The FBI says it is using persons, again, who work for news organizations as informers, but will not identify them. Under pressure from certain sectors of the left media, the FBI chief, William Webster, member of four racist and sexist clubs, said that the agency solicits information from members of the news media and does presently still have in operation newsmen working for them in that capacity. This has been brought to light since the network reporter, Black Reporter, reported that his material all ended up in FBI files and was willingly provided by UPI. But, said the FBI, another head, department head, Edwin J. Sharp, head of the FBI's organized crime section, that the informers are not only confined to UPI, but they're in Associated Press, CBS, NBC, and ABC. Where in the hell are we going? And they openly flaunt it, and I doubt if anybody is concerned. I doubt. I hope so, but I doubt. Black Panther leader Huey Percy Newton and his hulking bodyguard, Robert Hurd, have been charged with assault again. How many more? How many more charges? In a supposed barroom brawl that ended by gunshots. The 400-pound Hurd, however, was further charged with being an ex-felon in possession of a firearm in connection with an altercation when two shots were allegedly fired during a scuffle with patrons in Santa Barbara. Well, on he goes. I don't understand this. What the hell more do they want? They've got enough charges now to destroy the man, put him in jail for 1,000 years or the gas chamber. The Internal Revenue Service has canceled its month-old rule that it would have stopped hundreds of tax-exempt organizations from publicizing the views of public officials and candidates. The cancellation announced yesterday, in a quick turn of the bureaucratic wheel, came partially as a result of complaints from groups that would have been targets of the ruling, which was issued on May 1. The cancellation means the IRS once again will review politically related activities of tax-exempt, non-profit, educational, religious, and charitable groups. There was a feeling that we needed to clarify the ruling. An IRS spokesman said, "We felt in light of the reaction, we needed to be more specific." The agency said that when questions arise, it will deal individually with the cases to determine if prohibited participation or intervention in campaigns has occurred. The new ruling was greeted with collective sigh of relief from the League of Women Voters, whose voter education work would have been curtailed sharply by the rule. However, the IRS said that they will study each case on its merits. So according to one representative, Philip Crane, said that this actually, the announcement of the IRS, means nothing. But anyway, people are more encouraged by some pressure was brought on the IRS. Jogging, according to an AP report, will help depressed patients stay out of the psychiatric couch or the therapist council. University of Wisconsin and Michigan psychiatrists report, if you will run or work hard in your manual work 35 to 45 minutes a day, just work as hard or run as hard as you can, shows patients they can change for the better their mental habits. It also brings blood into the cells, which eliminate the chances of strokes, cancer, and heart disease. Well, as we've said, that's been proven over and again, that hard work will give you longevity. Government red tape is a major cause of tens of thousands of cancer deaths yearly. Tens of thousands of U.S. citizens are needlessly dying of cancer every year because they are not getting the best and most advanced treatment possible, says nation's top cancer specialist. The reasons? Lack of widespread public education, stringent Food and Drug Administration regulations, and the time-consuming method of scientific investigation, all of which strangle and paralyze drug research. In a society that's orientated to military preparations, there is little emphasis put upon modern medicine, which could save, according to these chief cancer specialists, tens of thousands from dying needlessly by the dread cancer killer in USA. The FDA has unnecessarily been holding up implementation of many useful and effective new cancer drugs for over 3 years, charged Dr. R. Lee Clark, president of the prestigious University of Texas Medical School, Anderson Hospital, and Tumor Institute. It's true that precaution is needed if you're developing a new drug for, say, headaches. You should be absolutely certain that the new drug is going to give somebody something worse than a headache. But cancer patients are very different, because 60% of them are dying now. We can't attempt to cure them unless we get new trials going and we have some wonder drugs that would help the situation. It is thought by some left and even left of center people that cancer is allowed to prevail in the U.S. society because it gives more money to the lustful medical profession, and they will not allow certain cancer cures to be brought on the market. We also need to report for study that there has been a clear study by the British medical departments, the Medical Research Society, Association of British Doctors, and the AMA, that the consuming of 3 to 4 aspirins daily reduces the likelihood of strokes in one half. So this is something to consider by those that are having undue hypertension by our medical department. The Carter administration has tried to inch its way back from the abyss of a new world war, a nuclear world war, according to a Washington Post commentary in the last 2 weeks. But a return to business or detente as usual in the near future seems unlikely and may well be foreclosed by Soviet reaction to the growing U.S. semi-alliance with China. Even attempt to improve the atmospherics of detente through the negotiated release of last week of American businessmen detained in Moscow and two alleged Soviet spies jailed in the USA was complicated by Soviet charges of slander against U.S. correspondents. President Carter gave an upbeat evaluation of relations with the Soviet Union, asserting that the underlying relationship was unstable, that there is indeed a threat to peace, but that the USA cannot compromise its good faith with its allies, whatever in the hell that means. No one knows. Lowered expectations for Western economies. The leading non-communist industrial nations have given up hope for a dramatic breakthrough that would put the lingering recession leading to depression or economic collapse of capitalism behind them. At this month's economic summit in Bonn, West Germany, leaders of the top 7 capitalist imperialist nations have concentrated instead on trying to coordinate a number of small actions which they hope will improve growth prospects somewhat and boost business confidence. But according to Newsweek, this is not possible because the Congress will not back Carter in his tariff on oil and restrictions of oil import. It will be a stormy year for the economics of Western capitalist economies, says the commentary. Cubans are not fighting in Eritrea, according to a Washington Post observation. The Carter's administration charge of Cuban involvement in the fighting in Zaire has been attributed to nothing less than outright lies by the Washington Post, as obscured an important development in Havana's African policy. The Cubans are not fighting in Eritrea. They were not in Zaire, despite a strong desire on the part of Ethiopia's socialist military leaders for Cuban help in subduing the Eritrean reactionary forces. There is no evidence, said the Washington Post, of any Cuban involvement in either Ethiopia's current offensive, which has been successful to contain the aggression of Somalia, nor was there the slightest evidence, said the Washington Post, of any Cuban involvement in the question of Zaire. Israel and Arabs, according to the New York Times Foreign Edition commentary on BBC, are building arms industries at a frightening and maddening pace. Both the Israelis and the Arabs are increasing production of their own weapons, and it is feared high-powered nuclear weapons to gain independence from leverage exerted by their Western arms suppliers, namely the United States. It is felt by the New York Foreign Times edition that this race for arms self-reliance will succeed, and when it does, USA will be without support for its economy because oil will be cut off. The only reason the Arabs have continued to depend upon the USA is because it has needed the military hardware that the technology of monopoly capitalism has built up. But the Arab states, with their wealth, are beginning to move fastly and co-produce advanced weapons equal to anything that the Western firms make. Israel has already, according to the CIA, and even a Senate subcommittee, been able to develop highly effective nuclear weapons. Going on with the news. To those, as I said, who want just the benefits of the news, who have already gotten down the news that we gave in synopsis, which must be studied heavily, and played in the library over and over again at all hours in various parts, so that you can be sure that you have last night's news and the commentary on Huey Newton. To fail that test will mean automatically 1 week at least of studying every night, because we have to have basics, those basics, to be sensitive, to be loyal, and to keep this beautiful socialist community. Suicide rates, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, as broadcast over ABC, among blacks, particularly between ages 20 and 34, has tripled as mobility has increased. A North Carolina A&T State University professor relates in extensive studies. About 47% of this three-time increase of black suicide victims are between 20 and 34. Within the 25 to 29 age group, the suicide for blacks is, would you believe, 14.1%. This is outrageous. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I hope that's correct. That's what I heard. Again, Ann Arbor, Michigan reports the suicide rate among blacks has risen three times since the mid-1960s because of an alarming pattern of alienation and self-destructiveness brought about the intense competition that cuts out blacks and Indians, Asians, and people of color from the system, according to University of Michigan researchers. Beverly Howells, a clinical psychologist, said suicide rates for non-Caucasians in the Detroit metropolitan area have increased in the last 2 years 187%, with less than 23% increase for whites. Similar rises have occurred throughout the country, she said. But for the most part, the nation's press is suppressing and censoring the news. Somebody must find it hopeless. Not many blacks see the workability of socialism. There's not unity, and all the major black leaders have been destroyed, and the one that could lead, and the group that could lead, has been forced to be in exile to save its children and its people from being tortured and rotting in American jails. Not so fortunate that we could have all been immediately assassinated. Even according to an AP report, religion is the backbone of white racist rule in Africa. For the Afrikaner, whose Baptist faith, Calvinist root, was nourished in isolation for more than a century, religion is not the expression of Christian love, but the maintenance of white domination and privilege, and they extract this theory from the Bible itself. Surprising that they will admit it. In South Africa, the Reformed Church, a type of Baptist church, Calvinist, three denominations, attended by 50% of the country's white population, are the spiritual justification of the dread fascist practice of apartheid and an all-embracing ideological force of hate. Church laws forbid shops, theaters, bars, and amusement parks to be open on Sundays. No organized sport may be played. Charges against violators are brought by the church. Also, the church brings charges against any member violating the horrible racist laws of Africa, which started with the church, said a young Afrikaner advertising executive who describes himself as a detribalized person His father's an elder in the Reformed Calvinist or Baptist Church. God is secondary in the church's scheme of things. The church dictates a code of racist ethics rather than spirituality. Well, that's nice. Food aisles of America's U.S. shopping centers are full, but the shopping baskets are empty. A specter is stalking the aisles, said the voice of America, of America's grocery stores. President Jimmy Carter has declared it enemy number one. Business Week is panicked by it. Newsweek sees it as a corrupter of the national morality, which wears away at the social fabric of the future of USA. The culprit spawning this fear and loathing is double-digit inflation, with skyrocketing food prices leading the way. Although Carter has tried to reduce the food price phenomena to a temporary aberration, the realities cannot be ignored, said the Voice of America. Overall wholesale food prices jumped this last month 16.4%, beef 25%. At the present rate, the food buying dollar will be chopped in half by the end of this year. The dollar will buy one half what it does now. And as Jesse Neal said, a little piece of lettuce, no bigger than the palm of your hand, a dollar. Relief seems unlikely. Inflation now must be seen as a constant reality that will stay with us, said the capitalist magazine Business Week, as so deeply embedded in the foundation of the society as to make the ability to erase it or eradicate it doubtful and dubious indeed. The Finance Journal of U.S. Capitalism goes on to say that the current inflationary upsurge is destroying the nation's efforts to achieve economic balance and growth, and is wrecking, absolutely, the financial markets. Well, that's interesting. And bears out all I told you, shortage of food. People, the rich have hoarded it, and there's not enough to go around. So the shelves are empty in all of the nation's supermarkets and grocery stores. U.S. admits, finally, in the Voice of America Armed Forces, that the growing problem of obsolete nuclear reactors is becoming one that is going to endanger the future of U.S. society. Nobody has yet been able to dismantle a commercial atomic reactor, with literally tens of dozens of nuclear plants reaching obsolescence, where they're no longer useful throughout the capitalist world, and heavily in USA, scientists and governments have begun facing up to the troubling problems of ridding the landscape of these dangerously radioactive structures, and estimates for the cleanup operations are running into the billions of dollars that the U.S. government frankly says they will not be able to pay. Reactors only have a lifetime of between 20 to the most 40 years. Like any other machine, they wear out from use, suffer irreparable damage from accidents, undergo repeated breakdowns that become too expensive to repair, or simply be rendered obsolete by new technological breakthroughs. All of them will remain radioactive for hundreds and even thousands of years in some instances. In many cases, these closed nuclear installations pose a greater threat than nuclear accident. Their security systems, the anti-radiation shields, the alarms, the ventilations, and detection devices have been largely removed, even if they are guarded perpetually by security personnel, which they are not. They are bound to deteriorate and eventually leak radioactivity. If one such plant, according to the Voice of America, were to leak out near a city, it could destroy the entire population. Even if we entombed, buried these plants, there is no way to be certain that after several years, the protective casing will be physically maintained or guarded. There is great concern by scientists both in USA, France, and West Germany that much of those nuclear waste that have been dropped in the sea are now leaking and making the ocean dangerous to be in, and will finally kill fish life that's there. Capitalism is built in to destroy. It's just built in. It's lustful, and it has no concern for nature, humanity, or anything else. Weather modification, the last of the news, is an imperialist weapon. Finally, some U.S. press is admitting. According to the foreign edition, again, of New York Times, a popular third world government, picture this in your mind, has come into power in a third world country and begins moves to extract itself from the stranglehold of multinational or international finance capitalism, the monopoly capitalists, in other words, that rule from USA. Suddenly and mysteriously, the seasonal rains in one part of the country are abnormally heavy, as we're now seeing in the Sudan and in Bangladesh, that has not been following U.S. policy. So heavy, in fact, that there are devastating floods. That's what's happening in Ethiopia and the Sudan. Elsewhere, meanwhile, the expected rains don't come at all. There is serious drought. With the resulting food shortages, white market hoarding and speculation taking hold, people will be starving. And that's what we see in the revolutionary situation in the West Sahara. A CIA-backed political faction takes advantage of the situation, in this situation that the New York Times Foreign Edition poses, and blames the government. The socialist or Marxist regime will be overthrown in a military coup because of the devastation of CIA modification of the weapon of the weather as an imperialist weapon. Some suspect there is something sinister behind the abnormal weather, and it is beginning to be proved. Sound far-fetched? Perhaps, to those who are apathetic. But for years, the U.S. government has been experimenting with weather modification programs. The CIA was proven to be guilty in 1972 with altering Cuba's rainfall to affect the sugar crop. Rhodesia has used weather warfare against her neighbors, but did not succeed in bringing down the socialist countries of Tanzania, Mozambique, and Zambia.